As you write your life story, you're far from finished. Are you looking to close the book on your job? Maybe turn a page in your career? Be continued at the Georgetown University School of Continuing Studies. Our professional master's degrees and certificates are designed to meet you where you are and take you where you want to go. At Georgetown SCS, the learning never stops, and neither do you. Write your next chapter. Be continued at scs.georgetown.edu/podcast.
Hey, it's Wendy.
And it's Jess, and you're listening to the Food Heaven Podcast,
your online resource for delicious and nutritious living. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Food Heaven Podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about weight, specifically weight loss. And we get so many patients and even listeners who hit us up about wanting to live a little healthier. And the focus of the conversation usually revolves or starts with weight loss. And I think that happens a lot of times because people equate being healthy with losing weight or looking a certain way. And this happens even amongst people who are quote unquote at a healthy weight for their height. There's still like this obsession with weight loss and with having like a certain body shape or like a certain body tone. And I think just the kind of culture that we're living in our society, there's that obsession about, you know, how you look. And especially for women, too, it's like we get double the pressure,
a lot of pressure
to look a certain way. And we're over it.
Yeah.
So we're doing this episode because it's just not conducive to developing sustainable lifestyle habits, which you already know that's right. What we're all about. So we're going to talk about weight today. As it relates to health, we're going to talk a little bit about our approach when it comes to living your best life, because that's what we want you to do. And
yeah, and why weight doesn't always have to be at the center of the equation. But I actually just want to start out by saying that as dietitians, you are trained in, I guess you would say, quote unquote, weight management. And so this is kind of more of a progressive way of thinking that I think the nutrition industry is moving towards, which is taking more of a weight neutral approach. So I don't want to act like we've never talked about weight, because I know in the past we definitely have, and we've met with patients where, you know, they really wanted to lose weight, and you know, we were taking more of that weight management approach. But now, over, you know, the last, I guess, yeah, year or so, we've really looked more into the research, and we've realized that having that weight centric approach just for most patients is not that helpful, and it's not getting to the root of what you know, what's going on. And so I think that that's really kind of where the conversation is going, and we're gonna talk about that today. So it makes sense in this society that we really, you know, that women especially really want to lose weight, because I mean, all you have to do is go on Instagram, okay, and it's like a million Fitspo models and all these accounts promising you're gonna get this crazy ripped body, and it might not necessarily be like in your genes to have a body like that, but sometimes it's hard because you're having all this messaging coming at you. And some of that messaging is even coming from your doctor's office, you know, where they're telling you that you have to lose 40 pounds in 3 months, which is crazy because even for somebody who's trying to lose weight, the average weight loss is about 18 pounds over 6 months, which is, you know, according to, yeah, what's more typical. So even if you are focusing on weight loss, like that in and of itself is pretty intense, and it would be at a rate that we wouldn't recommend. So if you're getting these messages from your healthcare providers, it makes sense that people are confused about weight, and you know, they want to lose weight. But we're going to talk today about why not everybody has to be that ideal body weight of 105 pounds. And really, for us, your ideal body weight is the weight that you're at when you're living your healthiest life that you actually enjoy living, where you're happy and where you have the flexibility to, you know, eat healthy and also go out to eat with your friends and not feel like you're super anxious because you're not following your quote unquote diet plan.
Totally, totally. And yeah, I have so many patients that come to me extremely frustrated and just feeling very hopeless because their doctors are like just said, they're like, you have to lose. It's like ridiculous.
It really is, you guys.
The number that they shoot out.
It's always like this crazy arbitrary.
Where did they come up with this number? And it's like, we're all working together. It's not like they're coming from another clinic. Like, they're upstairs and they come down and they're like, yes, the doctor told me that I had to lose 100 pounds. I've heard like insane numbers, like 100 pounds by the end of the year, or I am going to like develop diabetes, or like things like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like, it's not conducive to kind of like the work that we're doing, because it's like we're shooting different messages at the patients. And yeah, like before, We have spoken about like weight management before, and like just said, like now we're taking more of this like weight neutral approach. Even with our book, I don't know if you all have noticed, we, for those of you that have our book, on the cover, what is it that it says exactly?
It says 28-day plant powered health reboot.
Like on the little thing.
Reset your body, lose weight, and something else.
Yeah, and that was not our idea.
It was not.
The publishers really pushed that onto us. And looking back, we're kind of like, damn, we wish we would have pushed back more.
Yeah.
Because that's not, like, even back then, that wasn't something that, like, we were trying to promote on
right.
the cover of our book or anywhere in our book. But it's like this society, they're like, no, that's what's going to sell. Like, that's what people mm-hmm. want. And it sucks because now it's like,
yeah, we don't want to give the wrong message at all to people. So if you got that message, this is a public apology.
Delete.
Control alt and delete on that. But okay. It doesn't take away from the fact that we freaking love the book.
Yeah, it's
and
a great
it's like
book.
It's literally
that little thing.
I know.
I'm like,
it's like,
oh.
I'm just gonna put a little like whiteout. Yeah. Over
it. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So with weight, a lot of times doctors will use this formula. It's called ideal body weight, the IBW, and they like plug in numbers for your height and like they do some calculations and then ta-da, like you have your ideal body weight. And what I tell patients is that with weight, it just doesn't work that way where you plug in numbers and like that's it. That's mm-hmm. what you're supposed to weigh. It's so unrealistic and it doesn't take into account really important things like genetics, family history, like metabolism, if you've had kids, how active you are, like health conditions, especially if you have some metabolism related health conditions with like thyroid stuff too, especially.
Yes.
If you're on certain medications, like there's a lot of medications that can lead to weight gain. So it's like we have to look at the full picture. And when you tell someone, like, in very simple terms, you have to weigh this, it's like, how do you expect people to feel? It's not helpful. Yeah, so you tell someone, like, okay, you have to weigh 105 pounds to be healthy. What happens when you do that is the conversation becomes about weight versus, mm-hmm. like, lifestyle. So let's say you have someone, they're making healthier choices, they're, you know, trying to eat more plant-based foods, they're working out, or they're doing whatever kind of movement they like maybe they're going out for a walk, they're working on managing their stress, maybe they're trying to get more sleep in, but then the motivation is focused around weight loss. They end up feeling defeated when the weight doesn't come off.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, because they're doing all of these really wonderful things, and they're like, well, why am I doing this? Like, I'm not losing weight.
Yeah.
And I was at an event recently. I was speaking at an event, and there was a woman who kind of spoke about her experience and, like, just being like, well, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and the weight didn't come off, so now I'm doing this. And, like, all of these things that she was doing were great. Like, she didn't have to change it up at all. But she's, like, trying all these different, like, remixes and combinations to see if the weight comes off. And it's like, okay, I asked her, but how do you feel? Like, focus on how you feel when you're doing these things. And if you feel great, then why would you stop? Like, keep doing it. This is great. You feel good. And, I mean, the truth is that your weight is going to settle where it's going to settle.
Yeah.
Unless you're really extreme about it. Like, unless you're doing some kind of, like, deprivation diet, or you're, like, working out on some, like, super intense, like, regimen, mm-hmm. or you're doing, like, some kind of special diet. Like, your weight, unless you're doing that, which we don't recommend because it affects quality of life.
Right.
Unless you're doing that, then it's like your weight is going to settle where it settles. And I think that's your healthiest weight, when it settles where it settles and you're living your healthiest life and you're doing things that you enjoy and you're engaging in fitness and you're engaging in eating foods that are nourishing for you, you know. So that's our biggest issue with the whole, like, weight as a motivator, because it, you know, people just end up feeling very hopeless, and they're not really in tune with their enjoyment. They're more in tune with, like, the number on the scale. And talking about scale, actually, it's like this society also breeds, like, obsession with the scale, where we feel the need to be weighed, like, every single day. I have mm-hmm. patients that they're like, can you weigh me today? And it's like, I just saw them literally, like, last week, and they're like, can you weigh me again? I've been weighing myself every day at home. And, you know, your weight naturally fluctuates throughout the month, and it'll be like 2 pounds, and they'll be freaking out, yeah. like, going crazy about it.
I stopped weighing people for the most part.
Yeah, I don't weigh people either, unless yeah. they're very, like, they're really insisting on it.
Right.
And I mean, I'm not gonna, like, fight with people about, like, you know, because a lot of times they're like, please, can we? But yeah, typically I don't push it onto people, and they're pretty surprised too. Like, sometimes they look at me sideways because
yeah, they're really
like, they're like, are you not doing your job? I'm like, no, that's intentional.
Or the clinicians too, they're like, yeah. you didn't get a weight on them. I'm like, yeah, that was intentional. I'm not going to make this person further spiral into disordered eating. And it depends on the population too. I work with a population that is very much more prone to disordered eating, like you, not as much. And I feel like, yeah, there are those cases where patients, like, it's not going to affect them either way. And that's what you really have to gauge, because there's certain people where their whole mood is going to be down if that scale is up a couple pounds. And it's not worth it, because there's so much that can affect your weight. Also, like, you know, if you were to drink water before, or if you had lunch before, you know, or if you're wearing a coat, which a lot of people are, or they're wearing shoes. So those things can affect the scale. Like, I don't know, I've seen like a 5 pound fluctuation when they took their coat and shoes off and went to the bathroom. So it's just, a lot of times the number is so, it doesn't even, it's so arbitrary and insignificant that I don't always think it's necessary or useful.
For sure. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not being lazy when I don't take patients' weights. It's just, like, I don't see the point of it a lot of times. And, yeah, this ideal body weight number, it has nothing to do with you living your healthiest life. You can be at this ideal body weight that they tell you you should be, and it can have no reflection on your quality of life and on your health status.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of research to show that there's a lot of people who are quote unquote overweight who are metabolically healthy, and which means that when you look at their all their different markers of kind of their health status, so their labs and their blood pressure, things like that, metabolically they're healthy and they might be considered overweight. It's actually a large portion of people who are overweight. And there are also people who are a quote unquote normal weight who are metabolically unhealthy. So I personally think it's a lot better to look at those metabolic markers to see how those are improving with some of the diet and lifestyle changes versus just focusing on the weight. And then just to kind of touch on some of the research, you know, especially when it comes to kids, and this is actually a whole nother podcast episode, but we'll just talk about a little bit of it. So in 2016, the Academy of Pediatrics, that's the American Academy of Pediatrics, made a bold and clear statement that doctors should not recommend weight loss diets to children and adolescents because they are associated with increased risk for childhood obesity and eating disorders, and they don't result in better health. And then there's other research that shows that most dieters don't maintain their weight losses. And that's an estimated 80% of people who intentionally lose more than 10% of their body weight will regain that weight within a year. And there's other issues with the idea of weight cycling. So some other studies suggest that this kind of repetitive dieting and weight cycling, meaning where your weight goes down and then it goes back up because you're not able to maintain, you know, those changes because they were so strict, results in more problems over time. So you have a higher risk of weight gain and also a risk of developing type 2 diabetes, hypertension, and coronary heart disease. So I think as more research comes out, you know, and as I think hopefully our society is going more towards a weight neutral approach, you know, we're learning a lot more about the effect of dieting long term, and it's not really looking good.
So let's talk a little bit about our approach and what we do advocate. So we're into promoting health at every size, and that's actually a huge movement that's happening, especially among dietitians, which we're so excited about because a lot of dietitians, they do push weight loss. And so we're definitely seeing a transition away from that and into more of like this health at every size approach. And it's all about the concept of living healthfully isn't reserved just for weight loss. It's available to everyone. And so let's try to keep weight loss off of the table and focus more so on the lifestyle stuff. And although the weight might come down if you do change your lifestyle, a lot of times that happens, which is fine. Like, you know, you switch up the way you're eating, you become more in tune with what you're eating. Because a lot of times, like when you become more in tune with what you're eating, you eat less because you realize that you might be eating to, like, you know, there's some emotional stuff that maybe you're coping with through food, and like you're overdoing it with the portions, you're not in tune with your hunger cues.
Right, or you're skipping meals and then you're kind of binging later in the day.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of times when you change the lifestyle, your weight will possibly come down, especially if you're working out as well. So that's cool, like, you know, but if it doesn't, that's cool too. That's basically like what we spoke about earlier. It settles where it settles. And let's focus on how you feel, how satisfied you are with your lifestyle. We're not into calorie counting. And it's funny because like before we used to be,
yeah,
like Jess and I would be on like these calorie counting apps and we would like be friends with each other.
Yeah,
on
we're like, oh my God, go girl.
Right, we're like, how many calories? We used to be totally into it, and like, you know, but literally, I mean, I never consistently used it because it would just get boring to me.
Exactly.
And I would just be like, okay, what's
right
the point? So I could see for someone who isn't, you know, into nutrition, who didn't go to school for nutrition, how they can interpret all of that, like calorie counting, in a completely different way and in a way that's like really not healthy.
Yeah.
So we don't promote calorie counting. We don't promote like having a cute little tummy and having a six pack. We don't promote like being all toned and stuff, although that's beautiful and wonderful, but it's like all this Fitspo stuff on Instagram. It's like, we see that and that's what we want. And that's not necessarily conducive to developing these habits.
Yeah. And we don't even know that that's what's healthy. You know what I mean? Like maybe it is for somebody, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's healthy for you. Like you would potentially have to be, you know, severely restricting calories, and that's not a good thing. Or maybe you're like not eating any fat. And I was going to also point out that when it comes to calorie counting, so sometimes I actually will plug in, you know, in nutrition analysis software, plug in what someone's eating. And I really use that to show them that they're not eating enough because it spits out like the calories and all their vitamins and minerals. So if I suspect someone is kind of restricting too much and they may not take my word for it that they're not eating enough, I will calculate, you know, what their estimated energy needs are based on their physical activity level, and then also then compare that to what they're eating. And usually it's like a huge difference. Like I had someone the other day where her estimated energy needs were closer to like 2,200 calories and she was eating under 1,000 calories. Mm-hmm. So it's just like sometimes a wake-up call for people. And even with this patient, she was like, you know, there was someone in her family who created this like diet plan for her, and this was what she was eating every single day. And she really trusted this person, you know, who wasn't necessarily like a dietitian. So I think it's also important, you know, just because someone is into nutrition or whatever doesn't mean that they know what's best for you or even have any background in it. So you want to make sure that you're working with a dietitian who has more of a scientific and balanced approach to everything. So yeah, whenever I do the calories, it's really to show people like, hey, girl, like you might need to boost your calories a little bit because your body's probably needing more than what you're giving it.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it's, I think there's a place for being calorie aware. So Jess says this where it's like you're calorie aware, but you're not calorie obsessed. So I think there's a place for understanding calories and how they work. And like in our book, actually in our cookbook, we have like the nutritional breakdown for each of our recipes because we understand that some people want to know that information, like how much protein, how much carbohydrate, et cetera, and like how many calories as well. So I think there's a place for it, but it becomes problematic when it's like you're obsessed about the number and you aren't really paying attention to how you feel when you eat and how satisfied you feel when you eat. So that's why we do focus on lifestyle, on quality of life, and we try to stay away from like all of these little tedious details that can get in the way of developing habits that last.
Yes. So just to kind of transition into making it more personal for you, what can you do at home? Well, for starters, it's really important to begin with a lifestyle or any lifestyle changes that are really sustainable for you and for those around you. And don't push weight loss on yourself or even your children.
Yeah, I wanted to, especially with children, I wanted to make a point because I get a lot of kids that come in, they're sent for weight loss from nurses or doctors. And it's really heartbreaking because these kids, you can see like on their faces that they already don't feel good about how they look because they're being told probably in school they're being bullied or by their parents and family like that they shouldn't look the way that they look. They shouldn't be the weight that they're at. And so we have to be very careful with the language that we use with kids because like we said earlier, like especially with children, adolescents, eating disorders are, you know, it's a higher risk for developing eating disorders. Mm-hmm. And what I focus on with kids, which maybe for those of you that have kids at home, this is a technique that you can do, involving them in the kitchen in a way that's fun and interactive, where they don't see food and eating and nutrition as like this, you know, like torturous thing that it's like they can never get to where they think they should be. So making it fun, making it engaging, educating them about why they should be eating plant-based foods, healthier foods, foods that give them energy, doing it more so from that angle versus like the weight thing.
Right. And there's also something called the set point theory, which is a theory that basically says that your body has a weight that it's comfortable at. And no matter what you do, it's going to adjust your metabolism to kind of stay at that weight. So that's, you know, another thing to consider, that your body's set point might not be whatever that, you know, ideal body weight is in your head, and just to really honor and respect your body. And so, yeah, we hope that you guys got something out of this episode. It was really exciting to talk about this and kind of our approach that we've taken when it comes to weight loss and being a little more weight neutral and respecting of people's bodies and realizing that you can be healthy at every size and your whole life doesn't have to be an endless pursuit of weight loss before you can actually be happy and start living your life. You can start living your life now and, yeah, live that best life that you actually enjoy living.
Live your life, girl.
Yeah. So if you enjoyed this episode, do us a favor and share it with your friends, because I know that this is somewhat of a new concept, especially coming from dietitians, and I think a lot of people or loved ones might benefit from it. So definitely make sure to pass the love along, and also rate us on iTunes, so give us some stars and write a review, because again, the more reviews we have, the more this podcast gets sent to the masses. So we appreciate you guys so much. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.